Who could be Tennessee's Cedric Tillman in 2022? Today's Starter Spotlight breaks down who we believe is finally poised for a breakout season and a current Tennessee football player, not the one I just mentioned, but a current Tennessee football player set to join the show. What does he have to say about the Volunteers this summer? We'll discuss, we'll tell you all about it here on a Thursday show.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, it's a good Thursday, everybody, and welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, your go-to Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Each and every weekday morning, it's on YouTube, your first watch. It's on anywhere you listen to your podcasts. It's your first listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey app, wherever you guys get them. And guys, I do really appreciate it. I'm Eric Kane, your host, at underscore Kane or at Locked On Vols. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee at 99.1 The Sports Animal, and also write for the Rival site covering the University of Tennessee. Today's show, Starter Spotlight, Jalen Hyatt. Can he finally break out this year? Year number two with Josh Heupel. Dane Davis, current Tennessee offensive lineman, joins the show in segment two. He has a prospect camp coming up at Sullivan East High School this Saturday, and of course you guys know I'm going to talk about that, but I also ask him some questions about this year's team. And then Josiah Jordan James joined Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal earlier this week. Some good stuff there. We'll play some audio, all that and more coming up today on a Thursday show. Let's go ahead and dive into it though. Starter Spotlight. And this is a guy in Jalen Hyatt, a highly rated prospect coming into the University of Tennessee for the class of 2020 rather. At Dutch Fork High School in South Carolina. He won back-to-back state titles in 2018 and 2019. He finished leading that program in career receiving yards with 3,624 yards, 57 receiving touchdowns. He had like three touchdowns caught in the 2019 state championship game where they won it in overtime. He was a Mr. Football finalist for South Carolina as a senior. This is the same high school that VFL Bryce Thompson came from. He had a really polished, really successful high school career at Dutch Fork High School in Irmo, South Carolina. Now, coming into 2020, he was going to be kind of a toy, kind of a gadget for Josh Heupel. And then that season that was just so disastrous, right? I mean, he had 3-7. The offense is going nowhere. You had quarterback issues galore, right? And really, when you want to think about one bright spot offensively in the year of 2020, it was Jalen Hyatt. He only had two touchdown catches. He only finished with 276 yards receiving. He played in all 10 games, though. He did have a touchdown on a go route against Alabama. He had a touchdown at the end of the season against Vanderbilt. And you can just see, like, oh boy, this guy's going to be good one day. And then Jeremy Pruitt gets fired, of course, and you have some players lead the program and all that. But Jalen Hyatt decides to stay, and Josh Heupel gets hired. And, you know, knowing his pedigree, knowing his offense, and knowing how he likes to throw it around a little bit, we spent all offseason talking about and previewing how we thought Jalen Hyatt was going to be just the real deal. He was just going to explode in this offense, and that he was going to be the biggest beneficiary of Josh Heupel coming into the program. That did not happen. He had opportunities there in the first couple weeks of the season. He got banged up a little bit. Remember the Pittsburgh game where he got, I think he was concussed a little bit, but ultimately did not take advantage of those opportunities. And by the end of the Florida game, Tennessee said, all right, Cedric Tillman, Javonte Payton, Valus Jones, you're our three guys, and we're going to run with you no matter what, right? And Jalen Hyatt was that fourth guy, and he came in, he played in just about every game, and he averaged about, you know, 15 to 16 snaps a game and all that, and he did finish with a couple of touchdowns, had a touchdown at the end of the season against Purdue in the Music City Bowl, had a touchdown against South Carolina, against his native South Carolina team at home earlier in the season. His stats are almost identical, right? 276 yards receiving as a freshman, 226 yards receiving as a sophomore. Two touchdowns as a freshman, two touchdowns as a sophomore. 21 plays from scrimmage in terms of stat category, 22 plays in terms of scrimmage in terms of stat category as a sophomore. So, again, the stats kind of mirror one another, but that's a big letdown because we thought Jalen Hyatt was going to be an absolute stud in this offense. Well, lo and behold, you know, during spring practice when he got to meet with the media a little bit, he kind of came out and said, hey, I didn't have my mind right. I was not working hard. I was complacent. That's all on me. The reason I struggled last year was because of me, but as soon as the Music City Bowl was over with, I came back and I started getting to work. I hit the weight room, I put on about 20 pounds of muscle, and he looks a little bit more beefier. He's about up to 180 now, which is really, really good, because you cannot play in the Southeastern Conference at wide receiver weighing a 160. Squirrel White, Maquirius White, that's something that he's going to have to continue to work on his entire career here at Tennessee. He signed with Tennessee weighing about 152. He's already up to about 165, pushing 170, which is a good thing. But Jalin Hyatt, you just can't play in the Southeastern Conference looking like that. I made the joke one time that a defender just, tapped him with his pinky and he went down. And, you've got to be able to be a little bit more durable than that. You got to be able to be a little bit more tougher, stay on your feet, get a little yak, yards after contact, and that's all going to help him with the weight gain. But you had Jalin Hyatt that came in and said, I was determined to get better, and so put in the work this offseason. And again, it's spring practice. We didn't get to see an awful lot, don't get me wrong. And honestly, the scrimmage that we got to see, Jalin Hyatt really didn't do anything. But you continue to hear from players, from quarterbacks, from fellow receivers, from offensive coordinators, from wide receiver coaches to Josh Heupel, the head man, talk about how Jalin Hyatt has had a fantastic spring and how he is determined to right his wrongs and step up and be that guy that, we always thought that he could be. The fan base had those expectations for him. So I'm expecting Jalin Hyatt to have a really, really good year. So you have Bayless Jones that left, right? Slot receiver. Jalin Hyatt's going to be your slot receiver this year, in my opinion. Jalin Hyatt, he can play a little bit on the outside, but again, still a smaller, still a longer and lankier type wide receiver that when pushed into press coverage, it takes him a while to get off the line of scrimmage. So put him in the slot to alleviate a little bit of that, I think is the best move for him. So you have Cedric Tillman on one side, likely Brew McCoy on the other, and then Jalin Hyatt is going to be one of your options in the slot and probably your leading option in the slot. That means he's going to be matched up against some linebackers at times. That means he'll be matched up against some safeties at times. That means he'll be matched up against a nickelback at times. And you have the speed for Jalin Hyatt, who is a burner, that can run right around those guys. Then, is a crisp route runner that can get open and stuff like that. But that does mean he'll take some blows over the course of the middle of the field. He is not built like Velus Jones. Velus Jones is a running back that's got wide receiver speed. Really, I mean, look at it. His stature, he's about 220 pounds, about 6'1", but he can absolutely blaze. And that's why the Chicago Bears really, really, truly love their third-round pick for this year. So Jalin Hyatt's got a lot to prove, and I'm excited to see what he can do. I just think that his sophomore season was such a disappointment that even he had to step back and say, okay, what did I do wrong here? Is it me? Is it circumstance-wise? Maybe a little bit of both, but I can only control what I can control. And that's, again, kind of what he was talking about over the offseason. I mean, he said that he and Kelce Pope were working every single day before Kelce Pope even got the wide receivers job, and that's why he was so pumped and he was thrilled when Kelce Pope was appointed the new wide receivers coach to take over for Cody Burns. Of course, Kelce Pope was here as in an off-the-field role working and all that. So because of the work, because of the dedication that was put in off the field this winter, this spring, Jalin Hyatt is poised to step up and to be a guy for Tennessee. And I truly do believe that this can work. I mean, there's going to be opportunity. There's going to be, especially with how fast this offense goes, how it catches the defense off guard, how it catches the second and third layers of the defense with their hands on their knees, they're tired. And you get a guy that can straight up go like Jalin Hyatt. I mean, it's going to prove to be costly in some circumstances for that defensive back seven. So I'm intrigued to see what Jalin Hyatt can look like. I think it can be a really, really good thing. And that's who I believe Tennessee will have starting at the slot position. There'll be some other options there. Squirrel White can play there. Walker Merrill can play there. Jimmy Callaway can play there as well. So there will be some options, but I think Jalin Hyatt's going to be your top guy in the slot this year, and I do believe that he's going to improve big time on his numbers of 226 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns as a sophomore. I think those will, just be so much amplified here in his true junior campaign. And hey, maybe he can channel, who he was coming out of high school as a highly rated 4-star prospect. So today's starter spotlight, Jalin Hyatt. Can Jalin Hyatt turn into what Cedric Tillman was last year? Not the exact same situation, but in terms of development, in terms of bursting onto the scene, we will see. we will see, certainly has the athletic ability to do so. It's only a matter of time to get out there and watch and see how that work can be put to good use. So that is today's starter spotlight. We will move to the tight ends on tomorrow's show. But first, before we get to Dane Davis, current Tennessee offensive lineman who joins the show next, I want to tell you about Built Bar, all right? The new Mud Pie. You know our friends at Built Bar. They're always coming out with these amazing new flavors. Well, this time, Built has truly outdone themselves in their new Mud Pie flavor. And for the first time ever, Built is introducing the new Mud Pie flavor in both Mud Pie Bar and Mud Pie Puff. Guys, they sent me a shipment of these yesterday. I had one for breakfast on a Wednesday morning. It is fantastic. You can taste the 100% real coated chocolate. It tastes like a candy bar. It tastes like a tasty dessert for sure. And the best thing about it is so good for you. Only has 150 calories, 8 grams of sugar, but it's got 16 grams of protein. It is fan-freaking-tastic, to be completely honest with you. And the new Mud Pie bars and puffs are available right now at Built.com. And they're going fast, though, so you need to go ahead and act right now. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made with protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently, and it provides a ton of health benefits. You can eat something that tastes good and something that is truly good for you. You're not going to love the new Mud Built bar, you're going to love the new Mud Pie Built bar and puff bar, whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just something to grab quickly on the go. Built is the perfect protein bar, and it tastes better than a candy bar. Go to Built.com right now, use that promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is all at Built.com. All right, welcome back into Locked On Vols here on this Thursday show, and a special treat. We do have a VFL, a current Tennessee football player, joining the show today. Been teasing it all week, and his name is Dane Davis, Tennessee offensive lineman. Dane, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are we? I'm doing good.
Yeah, doing well, man. You joined the show before last football season, so glad to have you back on board. And the big reason why you're coming on the show here is you are putting on a football camp this weekend at Sullivan East High School. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so really excited for my first annual Dane Davis football camp. This is a youth camp and a high school camp. We're breaking it into two different sessions. I'm going to hold it, like you said, at my alma mater at Sullivan East up in Bluff City. So about 2 hours from Knoxville, roughly. So looking for a big turnout. Got a lot of people pre-registered. We're going to have an autograph session in between the two sessions. So the first session will run K through 6 grades, and that'll run starting at 10 o'clock. That'll run to 12. I had an autograph session from 12 to 1. Second session is 7th through 12th grade, and that'll run from 1 to 3. Guys that are going to be up there with me working the camp are to the likings of Hendon, of course, will be up there. So Hendon Hooker, Jabari Small, Jerome Carvin, some local guys from East Tennessee up there with me, like Charlie Browder, then Austin Lewis, which just joined us from ETSU, so Crockett alum and him, and excited to have those guys, other guys like Jackson Lampley, Squirrel White, just got a lot of good guys coming up to help me with this. And so if you're looking for something to do this Saturday and the kids need something to do, want to get some work with football, with some balls like myself, be a great opportunity.
Yeah, just be sure to bring some water. I'm sure it's going to be a little toasty.
Yeah,
but
we'll have water for sure, but I'll awesome. Have water there if kids don't have some.
Perfect. And, to my understanding, the pre-registration is closed now, but you are accepting walk-ups and literally anybody can come just that morning, correct?
Yeah, we are. Pre-registration online is closed. We are, however, accepting walk-ups via cash, card, or local check. So anyhow you want to pay, we'll be able to accept it.
All right, man. I'm going to ask you some football questions here in a moment for Tennessee, obviously. But, you know, why is this important for you to put on a camp like this? It's always important to give back, and obviously that's what you're doing. But going back to your alum, to where you graduated, where you played football, going back into your home community, what's the importance for going back and putting on this type of camp at Sullivan East High School?
Yeah, my basis for wanting to do this camp was trying to afford kids an opportunity that I didn't have at that age. Of course, there was never a camp, I think, of this caliber that I could have attended that close to home. And I feel like my community is at the disadvantage of things like that to be able to have those opportunities. So I wanted, one, to afford kids an opportunity to come and be a part of something like that and, you know, make those memories. And, you know, and I, like I said, this is something that wasn't afforded to me. So I wanted to afford it to kids that are, that were my age. And I know certainly at that age, as a Vol fan, I would, that's something I would have loved to join, to do, to be at. So just hoping those kids can make that.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Again, you'll have two sessions, one from 10 a.m. To noon. That is K through 6. You'll have session 2, grade 7 through 12, from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. And then, like you said, an autograph session right there in the middle. And Dane, by the looks of it, the crew that you're bringing up there, I mean, you've got a quarterback, you got a running back, you got receivers, you got O-linemen, you got tight ends. It looks like this is a camp for any football player. And what are some of the things that you guys are going to be teaching these kids and these high schoolers here on Saturday?
It is, it's definitely, I've got a guy for every position. So no matter what position you play, we're not going to make you play something that you don't want to play. So, but the basis of stuff is we want to give these kids stuff that they can take home and work on to better their game. And, you know, of course, I'll have coaches that'll be up there that have kids there, and these coaches can take these drills that we work here, the same drills we work here at UT, to take home and, you know, fundamental stuff and have these kids better their game with.
How was it organizing this entire event? I know it's probably a little stressful, but it's got to be rewarding, right?
Yeah, it's not to the rewarding stage yet, I don't guess. Yeah. But it's definitely been a lot more than I expected it to be. But we're banking on a really good turnout, and it's going to be a fun time.
Awesome. So walk-ups, again, registration right now is closed, but come on out there. Depending on whichever session you want to go to, it's $70 admission free, correct?
Yes, it's a $70 admission fee for campers. With that $70, T-shirt is included. Box lunch for free. That's sponsored by Steph and Andy's Pizza Plus there in Bluff City. They'll have lunch for the kids. Like I said, T-shirts included, lunch is included, camps included, and autograph session for the camper is included in all of that. So I think you're getting a good little bang for your buck, especially with all that stuff. And then we actually have a option open for people that might want to come for autograph only, and that's $20 for those tickets, and that's just admission to the autograph session. So,
and that's just the 12 to 1 o'clock admission,
yeah.
Right? Okay,
yes,
cool. And you know, Bluff City, Bristol, Blountville, Sullivan County, gorgeous, gorgeous place in East Tennessee, very, very near and dear to my heart as well, with some family up there, spent a lot of time up there. All right, Dane, we'll get back to the camp here in just a moment, but you're number two coming up. You guys are in summer term. You're going through summer workouts and getting conditioned and all that. A lot of excitement around East Tennessee for what you guys did last year. What's to come in year number two? What's the vibe of the team right now, man?
Man, the vibe is just hungry, wanting to get better every day. You know, just knowing how close we were to winning so many more games last year, how many games we were so close in, so close to, you know, winning at Alabama, you know, a few plays from being in it till the end at Florida, Pitt, games like that just makes us as a team hungrier this year to come back and, you know, correct those wrongs that we had last year and finish at an even higher rate this year.
You lost some great players and some great leaders on last year's club. You know, Matthew Butler, Theo Jackson, Alante Taylor, Cade Mays on the offensive line, but you yourself are stepping up both on the field and in a leadership standpoint. You got Cedric Tillman, Hendon Hooker. You've got Trey Flowers. You got a lot of leaders coming back. You know, kind of how's that leadership team kind of forming, and how's the response been from the team here in the early portion of the summer?
Yeah, guys are definitely talking up a lot more, and I think that's what this team was kind of missing. Guys that, you know, if they see somebody doing something wrong, if they see somebody out of line, they're going to step up and say something to them now and, you know, make those people accountable to make the team better, because, you know, those things – in the past haven't been looked up, you know, haven't been talked about, and it costs us later on down the road. So I think a big thing with us and a big thing Coach Heupel's instilling in us is for everybody to talk up. Like when you see somebody doing something wrong and they're not doing the right thing, to step up and say, hey man, you know, get in line, you know, we can't be doing that. We're better than that. And I feel like that's us as a team, where these leaders, you know, like you said, Cedric, Hendon, guys on the O-line like Jerome, Cooper, those guys are doing a lot. And, you know, of course, me as a smaller leader as of now, trying to work to be a bigger leader in the future, you know, just tagging along with those guys and trying to you know, put my two cents into things about, you know, getting guys on the right track, you know, keeping them in line, trying to get them to do the right thing. So
just a couple more for you, man, then I'll let you get out of here. You're always working, always trying to get better. There's always room for improvement, you know, offensively, defensively. But is there a sense of comfortability, you know, in year two in the system, meaning you guys feel comfortable in your own shoes and the scheme and the offense, both offensively and defensively? Because the turnaround offensively was incredible last year. But I got to feel like if you feel more confident in what you're doing just because you're more comfortable with everything going on, there's a step to where you can even improve on that.
Yeah, no doubt. I would definitely say there's a sense of comfort, especially in the playbook. Just knowing the offense and being able to play at a faster speed, being able to, you know, we play so fast, you have to recognize what the defense is doing in such a short amount of time, be able to react to that. And the better, you know, our coach, especially Coach Ellerby, like harps on knowing the playbook well enough to where when you get in the game, it's not, oh gosh, what am I doing? And because in this offense, you don't have time to process. And especially from an O-line standpoint, you know, we tell the young guys that come in, it's like, you don't know the offense like you think you know it, because when it gets time to play that fast, you don't know it. Like, even if you think you know it now, study more. And that way, you know, when the ball snap, you know, clap comes, you're ready to go and react. But there's also a sense of not being complacent and wanting to get better in those standpoints. And the older guys, you know, even bringing along the younger guys, helping them learn the offense, you know, helping them get better. And, you know, giving them things that we, you know, could have avoided but didn't really know better. So instead of, you know, letting them run through those same obstacles, you know, teaching them how to avoid those and being ready when their time comes.
Dane, be honest, man. How long did it take you to get used to this offense?
Getting used to offense conditioning-wise was rough. It was rough for everybody, to be honest. Huffing and puffing, especially for those first 2 weeks. But no, it was fun though. The offense is so fun to play in. You know, scoring so many points. I've never scored so many points in my life. But looking to break even more records this year. So should be fun to watch.
It's all worth it whenever the defensive line in that front seven toughen and puffing after drive two. So I'm sure that's it. Yeah, last thing, man. There's position battles. This competition always. You know, what's that? You know, a couple of guys, a lot of guys returning on the offensive line. But still, you know, a couple spots up there and a lot of returning guys, only one can play. But how's that competition, the brotherhood and kind of pushing one another type sense going on in spring practice and obviously in summer workouts and on into fall camp? How's that going for you guys up front and some of the other positions on the football field?
Yeah, me and Jerome and Coop kind of were just like looked at each other the other day and we're like, daggone, we're deep. Like, you know, when I first got here, we barely had three deep. So we were always thin. And COVID season hit, and it was like everybody got sick. We had guys out, and it was like, you know, I was up with the twos somehow, and this is when I'm still a walk-on. It's like right after my first year, and it's like it's just crazy how deep we are now compared to where we were when I was here, first got here. And we were even thinner before that, before I got here. So it's like being able to have so many guys to roll in and roll out is a relief big time. But to get those guys to, you know, catch up, especially the new guys, it's a foot race for them to get to where we are and knowing the playbook. And then once fall camp hits, they just got to learn how to play and be ready for, you know, because anything can happen. And last year that showed like things can happen so quick and you have to be ready.
Well, it's not going to be long. We're less than, I want to say, maybe 77, 78 days until it's football time in Tennessee. And everybody's smiling whenever it's football time here because it's a lot of fun to watch. And obviously, whenever you're winning football games, it's a lot more fun than I guess is what it has been. So great job, man. I really do appreciate it. And guys, don't forget Dane Davis Football Camp. It is this Saturday. September, this Saturday, June the 18th. It's at Sullivan East High School. There are two sessions. First one's at 10 o'clock and goes until noon. The second session, 1 o'clock, goes until 3. And right in the middle from noon to 1, there's going to be an autograph session. Come on out. You got Dane that's going to bring the likes of Jabari Small, Trey Flowers, Hendon Hooker, Jerome Carvin, a whole lot more. $70 at the door, walk-ins available. It's going to be an awesome time. So, Dane, really do appreciate it, man. Thanks so much, and best of luck on Saturday. Look forward to hearing how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. Just one thing to add, we'll open registration up at 9 a.m., so ask the people for that first session, especially to arrive early so we can start on time. But looking forward to it for sure. Going to have a great turnout, going to have a good time. Hopefully these kids make some memories and be able to take something home with them to better their game. But I appreciate you having me on, Eric. Appreciate it.
We got one more segment left here on this Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. Welcome back into it. Hope you guys enjoyed that that conversation with Dane Davis, a guy that's East Tennessee born and bred, a walk-on turned scholarship player, a guy that came off the bench and played an awful lot last year, now giving back to his community. I think that's awesome. Dane is a good dude and has always been very receptive of the time that he's had with me, so I really do appreciate that for sure. And hey, again, if you guys are listening to this, moms, dads, and you need something to do on Saturday, they'll take care of your boys. They'll take care of them. They'll give them plenty of water. Take them up there to that prospect camp at Sullivan East High School because they will learn from some of the best for sure, and a chance to get some, obviously, some autographs as well. So that's really, really cool. So on Josh and Swain earlier this week, I think it was Tuesday, and Josh kind of mentioned it on, or I guess it was Wednesday. Josh mentioned it on Ward Wednesday yesterday as well. He said that Josiah Jordan James coming on the program. I went and got some audio from that, and you can listen to the complete interview at 991thesportsanimal.com or find Josh and Swain on Twitter at Josh and Swain, and you can listen to the entire interview. But some really good stuff there from Josiah Jordan James, a current Tennessee basketball player for, again, the University of Tennessee. And I grabbed a few clips, and I wanted to play them. Really, really good stuff. This is when they're asking him about the current state of the Tennessee basketball and kind of what's the vibe and all that heading into summer. This is what Josiah Jordan James had to say on that.
Yeah, our biggest thing is just being a player-led team. Coach emphasized that before the beginning of last season. I feel like we did a decent job. We definitely still have to take more steps, but just being holding each other accountable, being leaders on the court with each other, not always looking to the bench or to coach, being able to coach each other. And I think that we've done a really good job of stepping up in that way and being leaders on the court, not only myself, but every last guy, because we in our locker room, we say that there's no titles. If you play 0 minutes, if you play 40 minutes, it doesn't matter. Your opinion and your voice is as heavy as everybody else's in the locker room. And so I think that as we grow and become better leaders, that's our next step in trying to, you know, achieve a national championship.
Josiah's had teammates from a little bit all over, from Finland to Europe to all over the place. And that's something unique. It's been a true bond for Josiah, a guy that's about to be in year number four in the system for Rick Barnes. Was asked about the relationships with his current and former teammates. Here's what Triple J said on that.
Yeah, man, it's been unforgettable. These guys, each one of my teammates that I've had since my 3 years of being here, will be my brothers for life. And to know that they've come from different cultures, I've learned so much. I've learned 3 new languages. I know how to say not so good words in languages. I know how to kind of communicate with those guys and learn about their culture and their families. And then as well as the guys in the States. So we have guys from all over the country in the United States. So just getting to know their families and getting to know them, the relationships that we have built have definitely been second to none. And I'll carry them for the rest of my life.
One of those current teammates is former freshman point guard Zakai Ziegler, who's now a rising sophomore, who is going to have to take a major step up in his role for the team now with Kennedy Chandler departing for the NBA draft. A lot of good things here from Josiah Jordan James on Zakai Ziegler. Listen to this.
What our team tried to embody, you know, after we started the SEC 2-3 was toughness. And we really got that from, I would say, a large part due to Urosh, but an even bigger part due to Zakai, because just the heart and the passion that he plays with. I knew the first time he stepped on the practice floor, he came in late August, so he was a little late, but I knew the first time that I saw him practice that he was going to be having a huge impact on our team. And lo and behold, the season that he had was remarkable, but it was a surprise to no one within our program. But he brings so much toughness and so much heart to our team that it fuels us to want to do more and be better and be more like him. And so if we have a team.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised hearing that as well, saying that the team was taking on the identity of Zakai Ziegler. Remember, Zakai Ziegler was a true freshman last year that was late to the party, got there in fall. And so that was some high praise there from Josiah Jordan James about Zakai Ziegler. Now, Rick Barnes, obviously the head coach, the relationship that Josiah Jordan James has with Rick Barnes and what he's meant to him both as a player and as a person the last couple years.
I've learned so much within the game of basketball, but he's taught me so much more about the game of life. And then just becoming closer in my relationship with God. He's helped me out in that aspect of my life a lot. And I mean, like I said in the interview after the game, I feel like I owe him my life for just being able to him offering me a scholarship to come to this university to play under him, to be coached by him. I mean, it's really just a blessing. And if I had to do it all over again, I always tell people I'd make the same decision 10 times out of 10 with no hesitation, because this university and him and this coaching staff, all the coaches and players that I've played with, they mean the world to me. And so, I mean, it's hard to describe how much they mean to me, but it's a whole lot.
Some high praise there, obviously, a lot of great things. And you notice wasn't a whole lot about basketball. Josiah Jordan James was saying there was more about how he's dealt with him as the person and bettering himself as a man. So I love that, love that type of stuff. What about Rick Barnes, the jokester? Funny story here from Josiah Jordan James off the top of his head from a couple years ago. Give this a listen.
Yeah, I would definitely say he's a comedian and a prankster first and a coach second, because he takes that job title very seriously. And one, right, there's so many of them, but one off the top of my head, during COVID, we had a practice or something. He brought in some hand sanitizer, so we thought it was hand sanitizer, but it was actually like diarrhea spray, and he got us pretty good with that. And so we spent the whole practice trying to get it off. We had to unfortunately practice with it, so the smell in there wasn't too great. And he's just over there chuckling and laughing, and still being him. But yeah, that's one that really off the top of my head that I remember that one just because of the foul smell that we had the entire practice.
All right, so for Josiah, what are you working on this summer heading into your senior basketball season? What improvements are you trying to make in your game after kind of breaking out on the offensive end last year? This is what Triple J had to say on that.
I think my next step would probably be my finishing ability. I think I have a pretty sweet jump shot. I'm working on that consistently, but my emphasis this summer has been being able to get downhill and finish at the rim. And then defensively, I've tried to focus a lot on my body, being able to stay in front of quicker guards, trying to guard people like Zakai, taking advantage of that each and every day, just trying to be the best defender I can be, and try to make winning plays. And so that's what it's all about, and that's what I'm about, not only scoring the ball, but just being able to make winning plays on both ends of the floor.
And then finally, Josiah's really kind of taken on the role of being, I think Josh and Swain kind of phrased it as man of the people. He's been very active on social media, very supportive on social media, the Tennessee baseball team, handed out some wristbands, put them somewhere on campus so fans could go there and put them on and go attend the baseball game. He's been kind of all over the place here lately. Was asked about that and why he's been doing that. Here's what Josiah Jordan James had to say.
Yeah, I just love interacting with our fan base. Like I always say that we have the best fan base in the country, and I just want them to get to know me better. I'm a real personable guy. I like to think I'm down to earth, and I love when people come and talk to me. I love connecting with our fan base and just showing my love for the Tennessee community as a whole, because they've done so much for me and my teammates. It's just a part of me trying to give back.
Again, those were some comments from Josiah Jordan James, Tennessee senior wing player, on Josh and Swain. Catch the full interview at 99.1thesportsanimal.com or follow Josh and Swain on Twitter at Josh and Swain. So some good stuff there. You guys know it's no secret. I am the leader of the Josiah Jordan. I'm the driver of the bus for the Josiah Jordan James bandwagon. I think the world of him as a player, as a prospect. I don't know him personally, but gosh, he seems like such a good guy. And his ability to be so diverse in Tennessee's lineup defensively and how he's improved his game offensively as well over the years, huge that Tennessee's able to get him back for one more year. And unquestioned leader of this team, it's Josiah Jordan James heading into this fall. And Tennessee should have some high expectations, as they always do, for a Rick Barnes-coached basketball team. That's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. Had a good time highlighting Jalen Hyatt for the player spotlight, catching up with Dane Davis, current Tennessee offensive lineman. Give him a follow at BigDane_Davis and check out his prospect camp this Saturday at Sullivan East High School. And good to hear from Josiah Jordan James on Josh and Swain. Some good comments there. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Balls your first listen. But now, for the first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, they've been made. Search now the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. Get over 50 insiders, Odyssey Sports experts, draft experts, Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, it's underway. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today, right behind Locked On Balls, which is your first listen each and every day. That's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. John Garcia, recruiting expert, coming up on a Friday show. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.